Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, January 15th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
Middle East policy and gender take center stage at the Democratic debate.
Signs of tension reemerge as the U.S. and China prepare to sign a Phase 1 trade deal.
Goldman Sachs and Bank of America report earnings after big beats from J.P. Morgan and Citigroup.
Democratic candidates spar over impeachment while House Speaker Pelosi prepares to send articles of impeachment to the Senate. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. A win for the Islanders, losses for the Knicks, Nets, and Devils, and Alex Cora caught up in baseball's sign-stealing scandal, out as manager of the Red Sox.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and futures this morning are little changed to lower. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down about 2 points this morning. Dow futures down 16. NASDAQ futures down 5. The DAX in Germany is little changed, down less than a tenth of a percent. CAC in Paris also little changed. And the FTSE 100 up a tenth of a percent. 10-year Treasury up 6/32, yield 1.78%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.55%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.2% or 12 cents at $58.11 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.5% or $7.60 at $15.52.20 an ounce. The euro 1.1141 against the dollar. The yen 109.88. Nathan.
And Karen, it is a big day for markets with the signing of a trade deal and bank earnings on the agenda. We'll have more on that in a moment. First, the Democratic presidential candidate sparred on the debate stage in Iowa last night. It was heard right here on Bloomberg Radio. The focus was largely on foreign policy in the Middle East.
We're now isolated. We're in a situation where our allies in Europe are making a comparison between the United States and Iran, saying both ought to stand down, making a moral equivalence. We have lost our standing in the region.
Joe Biden called his 2002 vote for war in Iraq a mistake. Bernie Sanders went after Biden on the issue.
We have spent trillions of dollars on that endless war. I did everything I could to prevent that war. Joe saw it differently.
Afghan war veteran Pete Buttigieg chose to focus on the future of U.S. foreign policy.
The next president is going to be confronted with national security challenges different in scope and in kind from anything we've seen before.
But the debate will likely be remembered for an exchange between Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren over whether a woman can win the White House this November. Sanders denies reports he told Warren it couldn't be done.
Anybody knows me knows that it's incomprehensible that I would think that a woman could not be president of the United States.
Elizabeth Warren pointed to the record when it comes to women winning elections.
Look at the men on this stage. Collectively, they have lost 10 elections. The only people on this stage who have won every single election that they've been in are the women.
Senator Amy Klobuchar and billionaire investor Tom Steyer also took part in last night's Iowa debate. The state's caucuses currently look like a four-way battle among Biden, Buttigieg, Sanders, and Warren.
And we'll have more on that debate throughout the morning on Bloomberg Radio. But first, it's a big day in Washington, and the U.S. and China are set to sign their Phase 1 trade agreement at 11:30 a.m. That is analysts turning attention to the prospects of a Phase 2 deal. Carla Hills is former U.S. trade representative and current CEO of Hills & Company International Consultants.
I think China does have the incentive to move forward and open up its economy. That's the way it's going to generate growth and deliver the kind of growth that is promised its population. I look forward to them meeting and trying to come up with the Phase 2 part of our negotiations.
Despite that optimism, Carla Hills thinks a Phase 2 agreement is unlikely before November.
Well, we're also learning U.S. tariffs on Chinese goods are likely to stay in place until after November's election. Sources say the White House will consider tariff cuts no sooner than 10 months after today's signing of the Phase 1 deal. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin is pushing back against that report.
These tariffs will stay in place until there's a phase two. If the president gets a phase two quickly, he'll consider releasing tariffs as part of phase two. If not, there won't be any tariff relief. So there's has nothing to do with the election or anything else.
And despite today's signing ceremony, trade tensions linger, with news on China's Huawei technologies weighing on sentiment. According to Reuters, the Commerce Department is drafting a rule that would allow it to block more U.S. exports to Huawei. That rule could reportedly be issued in a matter of weeks.
Outside of trade, bank earnings are the other main focus for markets. Results from J.P. Morgan and Citigroup yesterday beat estimates. Today we hear from Goldman Sachs and Bank of America. Here with more is Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
Analysts surveyed by Bloomberg see a 14% rise in earnings per share at Goldman Sachs, with revenue up 6% versus a year earlier. For Bank of America, a less rosy forecast. Analysts are expecting a 3% decline in earnings and a 2% drop in revenue. Trading may be a bright spot, with the bank having reported a trading revenue increase of between 7 and 8% as of mid-December. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Larry. In other bank news, Morgan Stanley is paring back promotions. Sources tell us the firm is elevating 130 executives to managing director. That's the smallest wave of promotions to its top rank in 18 years. Both Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs have tightened entry into their highest levels in recent years.
On the economic front, the government issues the producer price index at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Tomorrow, we get a reading on retail sales, and how the government transmits data like that to news media could soon change dramatically. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the details. Good morning, John.
And Karen, sources say the Trump administration plans to restrict the media's ability to prepare advanced stories on market-moving data, relying instead on government websites. There may be unintended consequences. If the government data is only available on its website at the time of release, it could make these reports more of a winner-take-all situation. That's because websites are built atop a first-in, first-out communications protocol. Whoever pings a site fastest gets the information first. That means a single trading firm may get market-moving information before anyone else. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, John. And a programming note, tune in today for a conversation with Robert Kaplan. The Dallas Fed president sits down for an exclusive interview with Bloomberg's Michael McKee. You can catch it live on Bloomberg Radio and television at 10:30 a.m. Wall Street time.
And S&P futures are down 2.5 points this morning. Dow futures down 9. NASDAQ futures down almost 7. The 10-year Treasury up 6/32. Yield 1.78%. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 6:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here with a check of what else is going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Six Democratic presidential candidates have wrapped up their final debate before primary voting begins, with talk of defeating President Donald Trump and bringing a divided nation back together. Former Vice President Joe Biden.
Character is on the ballot this time around. The American character is on the ballot.
Senator Bernie Sanders said, "This is the moment when we have got to think big," while Senator Elizabeth Warren said she has hope in America's future, despite its challenges. Senator Amy Klobuchar says she'll be a president who finds common ground instead of scorched earth. Klobuchar also talked about the Democrats' push to have four witnesses at a Senate impeachment trial.
If our Republican colleagues won't allow those witnesses, they may as well give the president a crown and a scepter. They may as well make him king.
The debate was aired live on Bloomberg. Meanwhile, President Trump held a rally during the Democratic debate. The president told a crowd in Milwaukee a preliminary trade deal with Beijing will boost manufacturing and the export of products made in the U.S.
Now you have a president who is standing up for America, and we are standing up for you, the people of Wisconsin.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is set to start the process of sending over the articles of impeachment to the Senate today. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said the charges against the president are severe.
Americans strongly believe that it's Americans who ought to determine who we elect, not some foreign power.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says next Tuesday we will start the trial in the Senate. The articles actually have to be walked over and read out loud so that then the chamber can be prepared and everyone can be ready. President Trump wants the right at some point in the trial to potentially call for a vote to dismiss the charges. A Delta jet dumped fuel over schools in Los Angeles, causing skin irritations and breathing problems for 67 children and adults after an engine problem forced the plane to turn around shortly after takeoff. Authorities say the injuries were minor and nobody was taken to the hospital. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashire.
Nathan, the day after A.J. Hinch, the World Series winning manager in 2017, was fired in Houston, Alex Cora, in what they call a mutual decision, had a parting of the ways in Boston. He managed the Red Sox in the championship in 2018, the year before. He was Hinch's bench coach, and while baseball said Hinch knew about the sign-stealing system, let it continue, the report said Cora was more of the ringleader, and it appears he brought some of that with him to Boston. Baseball's still investigating what the Red Sox did, but there's now only one active manager who's with the team he managed to a World Series title, and that's Davey Martinez, who won just last fall in Washington. Knicks were in Milwaukee. Bucks had the best record in the NBA, 36-6. So the outcome, no surprise. Mike Miller's team lost 128-102.
We got a little fast at times and not quite as selective consistently. I thought when we did, we got pretty good shots and we were able to get them to go. We got, you know, give them credit. What they do, you know, they put a lot of pressure on your offense and on your defense. So, but I did think that we let one end affect the other a little bit.
Julius Randle led the Knicks with 25. Giannis Antetokounmpo went for 37 for the Bucks. Kyrie Irving's second game back from injury, he scored 32, but the Nets beaten by Utah 118-107. Jazz won 10 straight. The night after a lopsided loss to the Rangers, Islanders came home and enjoyed a lopsided win, 8-2 over Detroit. Devils lost in Toronto 7-4. Austin Matthews had the hat-trick for the Leafs. Carolina Panthers star linebacker Luke Kuechly is retiring at the age of only 28. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. And in other sports news, the WNBA and its union have reached a tentative 8-year labor deal. Under the pact, the top players would earn more than $500,000. The contract runs through 2027. It'll pay players an average of $130,000 a year and guarantee full salaries while players are on maternity leave. S&P futures lower by 2 points ahead of Bank of America and Goldman Sachs reporting their earnings this morning. Dow futures lower by 9. NASDAQ futures down by 7 points. Little change to lower across the board. 10 years up 6/32. The yield 1.78% on a 10-year Treasury note. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Land Rover. Life's an adventure. Experience it in the new Land Rover Discovery Sport. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:17 on Wall Street. And Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. The trade deal to be signed today will punish China if it breaks pledges on currencies, intellectual property, and the trade balance. The US, meantime, will cut tariffs on $120 billion of imports and delay others. Nancy Pelosi will name impeachment prosecutors today. The House will then vote on them and formally send articles of impeachment to the Senate. Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren locked horns in last night's Democratic debate. Sanders denied reports he said a woman couldn't win the White House. Warren said she disagreed. And sources say Morgan Stanley is promoting 130 executives to managing director. That's the smallest number of annual promotions to the top rank in 18 years. For the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
All right, Hannah, thank you. And United Health reporting adjusted earnings per share for the fourth quarter that beat the highest estimate of analysts we surveyed. Right now, the S&P 5 futures are down about 2 points. Dow futures are down 12. NASDAQ futures down 7. The DAX in Germany is down 0.2%. So is the CAC in Paris. FTSE 100 is little change. The Nikkei 225 in Japan was down 0.5%. And the Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.4%. 10-year Treasury up 6/32. Yield 1.78%. The yield on the 2-year 1.55%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.1%. Down 6 cents at $58.17 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up 0.5% or $8.50 at $1,553.10 an ounce. The euro 1.1153 against the dollar, British pound 1.3024, and the yen is at 109.85. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. Federal authorities will investigate why an airliner with engine trouble dumped jet fuel over Los Angeles while making an emergency return to the airport, dousing dozens of schoolchildren. Delta Airlines Flight 89 to Shanghai turned back to Los Angeles International Airport only minutes after taking off because of engine trouble. Schoolchildren and adults needed to be treated. President Trump's former national security advisor, Michael Flynn, told the court he intends to withdraw his guilty plea about lying to federal agents about his Russia contact. In the NBA, the Knicks, Nets, and Warriors all lost. In baseball, the Red Sox manager Alex Cora have parted ways in a sign-stealing scandal. In the NHL, the Islanders won. The Devils and Bruins lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It is 6:20 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We welcome in now Michael Hewson, Chief Market Analyst at CMC Markets, with us from London this morning. Though I imagine from your side of the pond, Michael, you're probably watching as closely for U.S. bank earnings as we are here. What's your expectation for Bank of America and Goldman Sachs after JP Morgan just cleared the table yesterday?
Yeah, certainly set a very high benchmark, did Bank of America and Goldman. So I think with respect to Bank of America, obviously much more domestically focused, the mortgage market I think will be a key component of that. For me, with respect to Goldman Sachs, I think there was disappointment, I think, at the last earnings announcement. They were a little bit disappointing on the investment banking side, so I would be hoping for a little bit of a pickup there. But I certainly think, given how the U.S. economy has been performing over the past 3 to 6 months, I'm not pessimistic about U.S. bank earnings. They seem to be doing fairly okay. Take Wells Fargo out of it, and I don't think there's really too much to worry about.
Is that kind of a surprise that bank earnings are coming out the way they have, given the low interest rate environment that's hit European banks so hard, obviously?
It was a little bit of a surprise to me, because obviously I think since a year ago the Federal Reserve has cut rates 3 times, and I think there was an expectation that the flattening of the yield curve would have actually impacted margins on the part of U.S. banks. Well, we have seen the yield curve start to steepen a little bit, and I think that's certainly helped U.S. banks. Unfortunately for European banks, they're stuck in a vicious circle at the moment of negative to low interest rates and a consumer that is very reluctant to spend at a time when economic growth in the euro area is fairly weak. We saw this morning the German GDP numbers for the year came in at 0.6%. That's the weakest annual growth since 2013, and I think speaks to the difficulties faced by European banks when compared to their U.S. counterparts.
As far as the market this morning, we do have the Phase 1 trade deal being signed later this morning, seeing a bit of a pullback in the futures contracts ahead of that. What's your read on that?
My read on that is classic buy the rumor, sell the news. And I think one of the things that I think came out of last night's announcement was the fact that I think there had been some optimism, Nathan, that once we've drawn a line under the Phase 1 deal, that there'll be quick progress on Phase 2. Now it looks like we're probably not going to get any discussions on Phase 2 until next year, 2021. And that's a real problem, because ultimately it means that there's not going to be any new tariffs, but obviously the existing tariffs will remain in place, and ultimately they are a friction. And the fact that the likelihood is we're not going to get any tariff decreases between now and the end of the year, I think is a little bit of disappointment. And as a result, I think investors are managing their expectations around that downwards. And as a result, we're seeing weaker markets across the board. In essence, I think investors are sort of looking at the China-US dynamic and saying, this is as good as it gets in the short term.
In our last 30 seconds here, does that put the Fed back in play? They've signaled that they're going to stay on the sidelines through 2020, but if we have lingering trade tensions through 2020, could that change that material reassessment of the outlook that the central banks talked about?
I think that really depends on the U.S. consumer. At the moment, we're not seeing any real evidence that the U.S. consumer is holding back in terms of its spending. You look at the payrolls numbers; they're still fairly solid. Yes, they were disappointing, but you know, at the end of the day, we've had 9 years of fairly solid jobs growth, and there's no indication that that is slowing down. Wages are a little bit lower. That's a bit disappointing, but I would put that down to the fact that you're getting an awful lot more services sector jobs being added to the exclusion of manufacturing, which is slightly higher in terms of being paid.
Michael Hewson, thanks so much for coming on with us this morning. We really do appreciate it. Michael Hewson, Chief Market Analyst at CMC Markets. S&P futures lower by 2 points. Dow futures down 17. NASDAQ futures down by 8.5. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Life's an adventure. Experience it in the new Land Rover Discovery Sport. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston. Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco. Bloomberg 960. To the country. Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks are struggling for traction this morning. Trade tensions linger between the U.S. and China ahead of the signing of a Phase 1 agreement. We're learning tariffs on Chinese goods will remain in place even after today's deal is done. Here with more is Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin says no tariff relief until a Phase 2 accord is signed. Earlier, Bloomberg had reported that the two sides had an understanding that any reduction would not happen until 10 months after Phase 1, and that was to ensure compliance. Now, the back and forth seems to indicate there are still divisions between the two, but no word yet from the Chinese side. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thanks. We're also getting reports that the U.S. plans to ramp up pressure on China's Huawei technologies. For details, we turn to Bloomberg's Selena Wang in Beijing.
According to a report from Reuters, the U.S. government is close to publishing a rule that would basically expand the types of products that would be blocked from being sold to Huawei. So essentially, despite the fact that there's this Phase 1 trade deal, we are seeing this technology decoupling continue to Huawei.
The Phase 1 trade deal is scheduled to be signed at 11:30 this morning in Washington.
Banks will also be in the spotlight today after results from J.P. Morgan and Citigroup beat estimates. Goldman Sachs and Bank of America report in the 6 and 7 a.m. hours.
In Europe, Germany's economy expanded last year at the slowest pace in 6 years. Expansion came in at just 0.6% in 2019.
Here in the U.S., the government issues its producer price index at 8:30 a.m. Tomorrow, we get a reading on retail sales and how the government transmits data like that to news media could soon change dramatically. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the details. Good morning, John.
And Karen, sources say the Labor Department will end reporters' early access to data, which they then disseminate at an agreed-upon time. The Trump administration preparing to shift data releases just to government websites. That may create an unfair trading advantage because whomever pings a site fastest gets the information first, meaning a single trading firm may get market-moving information before anyone else. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. Watching some news from Target here, crossing the Bloomberg, it cut its fourth quarter comp sales forecast and now sees fourth quarter comparable store sales at 1.4% higher. The estimate was for a 3.8% increase. Also hearing from BlackRock, assets under management is $7.43 trillion, and that was better than analysts were looking for. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 6:33 on Wall Street. Time to check the latest world and national news now. Brought to you by Land Rover. Life's an adventure. Experience it in the new Land Rover Discovery Sport. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond. Here's Michael Barr.
Nathan, thank you, sir. Six Democratic candidates gathered in Des Moines, Iowa last night for the final debate before the Iowa caucuses. You heard it live on Bloomberg. The candidates talked about defeating President Donald Trump and bringing a divided nation back together. Former Vice President Joe Biden said character is on the ballot in 2020.
I did my job. The question is whether or not he did his job, and he hasn't done his job. And so it doesn't really matter whether or not he's gone after me. I've got to be in a position that I think about the American people. I can't hold a grudge. I have to be able to not only fight, but also heal.
While the discussion largely focused on policy questions, such as foreign affairs and health care, the candidates also sparred over the role of women in politics. Elizabeth Warren says Bernie Sanders told her during a private meeting that a woman could not win the White House this November. Sanders says he did not. After the debate, Bloomberg's Kevin Cirilli spoke with former presidential candidate Julian Castro, who supports Warren.
A woman can become president. She made that very clear. Senator Warren also made it clear why she's the most electable candidate. She's the only candidate on that stage who has defeated an incumbent Republican in the last 30 years. She's bringing people together from throughout the Democratic Party and even attracting independents and some Republicans who have had enough of Donald Trump.
In Milwaukee, President Trump rallied supporters discussing the fallout over the U.S. killing of an Iranian general, saying Democrats are outraged over the killing of a, quote, terrorist monster.
Our last election was so important. I don't know, maybe the most important ever, but it was so important. I really believe that this election, maybe in its own way, will be just as important.
Trump told supporters, if you want to keep America safe, just vote Republican. The House votes today on sending two articles of impeachment against President Trump to the Senate. This says Democrats increase their push for witness testimony during the trial and documents to be included in the process. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, baseball's sign-stealing scandal has now led to the departure of managers who've won two of the last three World Series in consecutive days. A.J. Hinch fired in Houston. Now Alex Cora in what was called a mutual decision out in Boston. Cora, while Hinch's bench coach in Houston, was heavily involved in how the Astros used technology to steal signs, a clear breaking of the rules. And baseball still looking into what Cora and the Red Sox did a year later. The Astros got fined $5 million, had four high draft picks taken away. The Red Sox could be facing similar penalties. Knicks and Nets went against the teams with the best record, the longest winning streak in the NBA. Sure enough, Milwaukee down the Knicks 128-102. Giannis Antetokounmpo only played 21 minutes, still scored 37 points. In Brooklyn, the Nets lost to red-hot Utah 118-107. That's 10 straight wins for the Jazz. They impressed Nets coach Kenny Atkinson.
You know, they've been the number one offense over the last 15-20 games, and we could never find a way to stop them. Just that simple. I don't think in any, you know, transition defense, pick and roll defense, rebounding, physicality, all the stuff. I think they just dominated.
Kyrie Irving scored 32 in the loss. Islanders, easy 8-2 out of Detroit. Devils lost in Toronto 7-4. At Clemson, football team may have just lost the championship game, but sandwiched around that, wins in basketball. First at North Carolina, where Clemson had been 0-59, and then last night the Tigers upset Duke. At the age of only 28, Carolina's star linebacker Luke Kuechly is retiring. He walks away from $21 million he was owed over the next 2 years. The Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashel. Nathan.
Thanks, John. 6:37 on Wall Street. And today we get a reading on wholesale costs at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists forecast the producer price index rose 0.2% in December. Here with more is Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
Bloomberg Economics says a softer dollar and rising oil prices could boost the PPI, though short-term price pressures will remain muted. November's PPI was unchanged, the second month in three without an increase. Now, data Tuesday signaled consumer prices were generally tame in December, underscoring the Federal Reserve view that inflation is muted. Households with stagnant incomes may, in some cases, beg to differ. Adjusted for inflation, weekly earnings were flat last month. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. It is 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Boeing's new CEO shouldn't need a special bonus to fix the 737 MAX.
I'm Brooke Sutherland, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. David Calhoun officially took over the top role on Monday following the December ouster of Dennis Muilenburg over his ham-handed management of the crisis engulfing the MAX. With the plane having now been grounded for 10 months in the wake of two fatal crashes, Boeing decided to promise its new CEO a $7 million special long-term incentive award contingent on certain key business milestones, including the successful and safe return of the MAX to service. As CEO, it's hard to overstate the importance of getting the MAX flying again for Calhoun. The thing is, a mechanism already exists that compensates executives for doing what's expected of them in their job. It's called a salary. Calhoun already is getting one of those to the tune of $1.4 million annually on top of other incentive awards. Occasionally, you will hear the argument that executives need to be showered with money to make them willing to take on especially complicated situations. That argument doesn't apply here. Calhoun has been on Boeing's board since 2009. What happened with the MAX is just as much a reflection on him as it is on Muilenburg. Salvaging his own reputation should have been incentive enough. I'm Brooke Sutherland. For more opinion, visit Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report with Jeff Bellinger.
The world is getting a graphic view of global climate change from down under. Temperatures have risen faster in Australia than they have elsewhere, and the months-long wildfire crisis shows no signs of abating. Fires have already burned more than 25 million acres, an area twice the size of Switzerland, claiming more than two dozen lives and destroying more than 2,000 homes. The suffering isn't limited to humans. It is feared as many as 1 billion native birds, mammals, and reptiles have been killed. Australia's koala population has taken such an extraordinary hit that Environment Minister Susan Ley says the marsupial could be classified as endangered. Minister Ley has announced a $35 million funding package to protect wildlife and restore natural habitat, but conditions could worsen before they get better. Long-range forecasts call for above-normal temperatures in the months ahead. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Jeff Bellinger.
All right, Jeff, thank you. S&P futures lower by 2 points. Dow futures down 12. NASDAQ futures a loss of 6 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. The Bloomberg NBC Sports Report is brought to you by BMW. Test drive a BMW at your Tri-State BMW Center and receive exceptional offers on a new BMW. Visit them at tristatebmw.com. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and this is a Bloomberg Business Flash. Right now we are watching Bank of America earnings crossing the Bloomberg fixed income revenue, beating analyst estimates, trading revenue excluding items also beating, and we have all the details straight ahead in just a seconds from now. Right now we are also watching shares of Target. They're down 8.2% in early trading. This after its fourth quarter forecast for comparable store sales missed the average estimate of analysts we surveyed. Futures this morning are little changed. 10-year Treasury up 6/32, yield 1.78%, and the yield on the 2-year at 1.55%. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump rallied supporters last night in Milwaukee by defending his decision to kill a top Iranian general. At the same time, Democrats vying to replace him used last night's debate to argue that doing so made the country less safe. The candidate squared off in Des Moines, Iowa, ahead of the Iowa February caucuses. In the NBA, the Knicks, Nets, and Warriors all lost. In baseball, the Red Sox and manager Alex Cora have parted ways in a sign-stealing scandal. In the NHL, the Islanders won, the Devils and Bruins lost. Global news 24 hours a day, on air, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 6:48 on Wall Street. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where, as Karen mentioned, earnings from Bank of America are crossing the terminal. Fixed income trading beating estimates. Fourth quarter earnings per share also a beat. Trading revenue higher than expectations as well, though equities trading came in a bit below what the street was expecting. Let's get more now on these results. Bloomberg Radio and Television finance correspondent Shanali Bosick back with us this morning. Shanali, what stands out to you on the top line?
So that big red headline we have coming in right now is that net interest income of $12.3 billion is a very important number. It's a little higher than analyst estimates, but it has fallen 3% given low interest rates. Bank of America is very exposed to interest rates.
Right, and a little bit lower than expectations. So how is Bank of America managing expectations based on what you're reading from the results this morning?
Well, right now, Wall Street likes it. The shares are up just a little bit already, and actually that net interest income is above expectations. So even though it fell, it is holding strong relative to what people believe they could be doing in this type of perennially low interest rate environment. And so Bank of America, like JP Morgan, believes that the consumer in America is doing pretty strongly, and that their investment banking revenue is picking up quite as well.
Now, when it comes to some of the exposure to businesses that are more for institutional investors, how does Bank of America look there?
So they're looking pretty good. Like you had mentioned earlier, equities is a little light, but fixed income came in strong above expectations, so people will be all right with it. Investment banking, I'm still absorbing the numbers, but they are actually holding pretty steady as well. Bank of America had a lot of turnover in their investment bank about a year ago, and so the fact that they've been holding on so steady has been a real standout to Wall Street. Not to mention, Bank of America has a benefit that other people don't have, which is that they bank a lot of middle market companies that have been really driving revenue there at the investment bank.
All right, so what are you going to be looking for from the forward guidance from BAC?
Those interest rates. We've heard Citigroup say that they might have some impact this year. JP Morgan doesn't seem as concerned. Remember, everyone's expecting one more rate drop at the end of this year. And so this could all become an issue for the big banks. So let's see what Bank of America has to say.
And BAC shares up just about, just shy of 1% in the pre-market on those results. Bloomberg Radio and Television finance correspondent Shanali Bosick, thanks for helping break down the numbers for us. We know you'll be back when Goldman Sachs reports in less than an hour here. Now let's get a check of what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories there include the signing of the Phase 1 trade deal between the U.S. and China. That's happening in less than 5 hours. The Labor Department considering changes to how it releases economic data, and the Senate prepping for an impeachment trial that could run into February. Also making news, the final Democratic debate before the Iowa caucuses, now less than 3 weeks away. For more, Brown University political science chair Wendy Schiller joins us. I say it's making news, this debate last night, but how much news do you think was made on the Des Moines stage last night, Wendy?
Well, I'm not sure that much news was made at all. I think a lot of them stuck to their script. I think Amy Klobuchar tried to break out. You know, she realizes that, you know, she needs some showing in Iowa or New Hampshire to stay in this race. I was surprised Liz Warren didn't go more strongly after Bernie Sanders. It was sort of a polite disagreement about what he said about women not being able to be elected president in 2020. So she should have gone tougher, in my opinion. I think that's one of the things she's been hampered by in her slowing down of her momentum. And I think, you know, Democrats, you know, Iowa has some weird rules, so you don't want to alienate the people that you're, you know, competing against, because you might not get them if they don't win a 15% or majority of your little caucus meeting in Iowa. But this is a national debate, and a lot of people are watching in the party. And to really take back the mantle from Bernie Sanders, I think she had to show more than she did last night.
Now, you say Warren didn't go hard enough on Sanders, but, of course, a lot of attention is being focused on that apparent snub after the debate where Warren appeared to refuse to shake Sanders' hand. Is that being overblown, or is there more to make of that?
Well, I mean, I think she took advantage of that time. She's fully aware this is all filmed and everybody will, you know, put it on social media. And she wanted to make it clear that, you know, he essentially called her a liar. And, you know, instead of going after him head to head, which she would have to do in a debate against Trump, she kind of skirted the issue during the debate and then did something that she knew would go viral. So it's sort of free press for her saying, listen, I did stick it to him. I did go up to him afterwards and challenge him. But that's not the same thing. And I think Democratic voters in the primary are looking for somebody who can go toe-to-toe with Trump. And I just don't know that she passed that threshold last night.
Yeah, I wonder whether you think then that this debate might have been a missed opportunity, particularly for the senators in this Democratic presidential race, who are going to be stuck on Capitol Hill probably for the next couple of weeks here acting as jurors in an impeachment trial.
Yeah, Nathan, you're making such an excellent point. That's why it was so important for Elizabeth Warren to come out as strong as possible, because they're all going to go into this sort of cave right now in terms of impeachment, should this trial get underway, and should McConnell fail to get the charges dismissed quickly, which is always a possibility. I think Klobuchar did well with that moment. In other words, leaving a pretty good impression on Democratic voters before she has to go back to the Senate. But it clearly gives Biden a huge advantage, and Buttigieg and Tom Steyer and Michael Bloomberg, who's, you know, out there spending a lot of money. You know, people who don't have to be in the Senate and can shake hands and get out on the campaign trail. And that it could very well shift things by the time we get to the Iowa caucuses.
Michael Bloomberg, of course, founder and majority owner of Bloomberg Radio, parent Bloomberg LP. So are there still opportunities for the candidates to break through here, given the changing dynamic with the impeachment trial coming up and the caucuses just a few weeks away and the first rounds of primary voting?
I mean, I think if you're Pete Buttigieg, for example, you know, he was quite scripted last night, and I think in some ways he answered really well, and he does present a sort of moderate, younger alternative to everybody else. But in that same sense, he's too scripted. And I think Democrats want someone who can beat Trump. That's the overarching theme. But they also want somebody they can get out the door for. And I think that's the thing that's really lacking right now in the Democratic Party, the enthusiasm gap between people who want to see Trump reelected and the Democrats who don't want to see Trump reelected but aren't in love with anybody who's running. I think that's a really tough mountain to climb for the Democrats. And that's where you want to sort of figure out whether you can get some momentum going in and out of Iowa, then going to New Hampshire, you have Nevada, and then you have South Carolina. And I think whoever comes out of those four with sort of a generating some enthusiasm really might go into Super Tuesday with a pretty strong advantage.
What impact, if any, could this upcoming impeachment trial have on that enthusiasm gap in the Democratic base?
I think this is really all about the independents. I said this before, and the people who are sort of on the fence, and did they vote for Obama and then Trump? And, you know, this is generally tends to be two kinds of voters. One is sort of working class who switched from Obama to Trump, and the other is sort of upper income who has a strong distaste for Trump. How you get to both of those people and how impeachment resonates. But, you know, generally speaking, it doesn't get better for the president. More stuff is coming out. People are knocking Nancy Pelosi. On the other hand, in the last couple of weeks, more things have come out that really do strengthen the case for the Democrats to impeach the president. Whether you want to convict and remove, that's another story. So I do think that it wasn't a big mistake, and I do think this will linger for Trump. And the question will be, how much distaste do people have for this man, and can they live with him for another 4 years? It's going to be very hard to get out from under the shadow of Trump as an incumbent, but also Trump himself in this race. So getting that enthusiasm gap, you know, smaller is really important for the Democrats, in that they've got a ready base that says, we don't want the other guy. But, you know, can they get their key constituencies, particularly African-American voters, out the door? And I just don't see anybody generating that kind of level of enthusiasm right now.
Always good getting your insights, Wendy. Much appreciated. That's Brown University Chair of the Political Science Department, Wendy Schiller, with us this morning on Bloomberg Daybreak. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. We continue to watch shares of Bank of America up 0.7% this morning after it released its earnings. We're also watching Target. Those shares down about 8%. Its fourth quarter comparable store sales forecast disappointing investors. So again, those shares are falling this morning. S&P futures are down a point. Little change. Dow futures are down 13. NASDAQ futures down at 2, and NYMEX crude oil is rising this morning, up almost 0.2%. And Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrell, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moskow, and this is Bloomberg.